Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Psalm 22, just going to read verse 1. David writes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? This is going to be a fun one, Jake, I can tell. How encouraging. I want to preach to us today, fulfilled, not forsaken. Fulfilled, not forsaken. Let's pray one more time. Lord, I thank you for your wonderful, wonderful presence in this room today. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done already. I know, I believe, Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus that healing has already taken place, that deliverance has already come through for us today, Lord, that you've already done a work. Lord, but I know today that you have given me this word for your people, and I ask that you would energize our minds, our hearts, open our understanding, just to be lifted and encouraged and made better by your word for these next few moments. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time as you're seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say before I get into this, because I haven't had a chance to do it at any other point through the week from this pulpit, but I just want to give props and appreciation and recognition to Regeneration last Sunday. What a magnificent move of God that we had, and the way that they led and worshiped, the way that Stephen, Bianca led them and trained them and helped them and just, man, they came in and they just, it's like I believe Pastor said it before he closed it. They didn't come to play church. They came and they had church and they led us. And what a magnificent move of God. And so I got to give some props to Regen today. Just had to get that out of the way before we go any further, man. Awesome, awesome young people that we have. And I'm thankful for them. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, David wrote. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Has anybody ever felt like that? Has anyone, maybe you've never had the courage for fear of a lightning bolt or something. Maybe you've never had the courage to say, God, why have you forsaken me? I don't think, and I'm being perfectly honest, and this is not giving props to myself, I think that I have never had the courage, I don't think, in any situation that I've ever shook my fist at God and said, why have you forsaken me? I have felt it, and I have asked, why do you seem so far away from helping me? Why does an answer seem so very far away? Why does this situation seems so bad? Lord, aren't you supposed to stop it before it gets this bad? Aren't you supposed to have come through for me by this point already so that I'm not having to sit here and feel like that you're so far away from the words of my roaring, of my suffering? Why do I feel like you have forsaken me? And David wrote that. And David felt that. The book of Psalms, largely, not entirely, but mostly, is comprised of the writings of David. And it is a book of song. You read a lot of these. That's why we turn so many of the Psalms into songs. If you'll notice, a lot of what we sing, if you'll listen to the words, you say that sounds familiar. It's because it's right out of the book of Psalms. It is a book of song. It's a poetic book. It's a book that has a lot of imagery. It's deeply emotional. However, we can't forget, we can't discard the book of Psalms as just like, well, that's just what I read when I don't have time to read something like out of Leviticus. I don't have time for one of them long chapters in Matthew. Let me get, Psalm 23 or something, take me like 3 minutes to read. And, you know, but we can't discard it as just poetry and imagery and, you know, just imagine David just on his harp sitting in a field. And it's all those things, but we can't forget that it is the inspired word of God. The book of Psalms is included. It is canonical in the Holy Scripture that we look to guide our lives. It is relevant, and it connects directly to the rest of the Bible. Forward and backwards, you can look at ways that Psalms reaches to all the other Scripture, all other books and things that you read in Scripture. And the book of Psalms, I think there's a reason maybe why it just seems to be kind of right there in the middle, you know? It connects. It's relevant. And it's also deeply prophetic. The book of Psalms is woven with prophecy in such a way that it can be taken in the context of the time and circumstance in which it was written, as well as the life of the writer, what was going on in the life of the writer. But it also, at the same time, can reach forward in time, touching directly the lives of readers thousands of years later. That's us. And that's any part of the Word of God. It is the living Word of God. That's why, you know, I've said this many times, I might read a passage and it helps me in one way on this day. I might read it next week and something jump out at me and speak to me that I didn't see the last time I read it. It speaks to my situation now because it's the living Word of God. There's no book like it. There's no other writing like it. There's no other, there's nothing like the Word of God. And so Psalms is like that. It is prophetic in that it is relevant to the context of the time and place that it's written, but it also speaks right to my situation so many times. That's why we connect to the book of Psalms on such an emotional level so many times, because we think, man, I feel that. I can't tell you how many times I've read and I've said, David, my man, I feel that. I hear you. I understand what you're going through. I get it. And you know, as if I've had like a group of guys hunting me with spears and, you know, stuff before. But David went through some stuff. But still, what he was going through it physically, but you might read his situation. It speaks to your spirit on a deep level. And it just, because it's deeply prophetic. And Psalm 22 specifically is one of the clearest messianic prophecy chapters that we can find. Matthew 27:46, Jesus directly quotes Psalm 22:1. Let me get there. In verse 46, he says, about the ninth hour, Jesus is hanging on the cross at this point. It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He directly quoted. Now, I know that I've preached from this scripture a lot of times, and every time I dig into it, there's like another layer of it that I open up. And, you know, I've preached about separation anxiety, how that the Lord was showing us right there that he even took on the feeling of being separated from God, and he conquered that at the cross, just with all the other stuff that he conquered. He conquered that feeling right there of feeling God forsaken. And he did, and that's true. But what we don't
realize so many times, and what a lot of people don't realize, what I didn't even, it never grabbed my attention in this way, and just till recently. And I actually think that Sister Swalls may have shared something on Facebook about it. And it gripped me, this point that Jesus is, he's not just crying out, that didn't just come to him out of nowhere. He's directly quoting the opening verse of Psalm 22. The exact words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in ancient Jewish tradition, when a rabbi, a teacher, when they quoted the first line of a psalm, they were invoking the entire psalm. They weren't just saying it just to say the first line and that be it. They were pointing to the entire psalm. They're invoking the entire passage just by saying the opening line. And so he says, he cries out the opening line here of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was pointing to something. And I think probably in ways that it doesn't grab our attention, that there were people there that it probably grabbed their attention, because many of them would have understood that just what he's saying doesn't stand alone by itself. He's pointing to Psalm 22. So let's look at the rest of that psalm. Psalm 22, 7 and 8. David says, all they that see me, they laugh me to scorn. And they say, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Well, you look at Matthew 27, 41 and 43. You see that the crowd mocked Jesus. And they said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. Why don't you call down angels? Why don't you get yourself off the cross? Why don't you call on God to help you out of this? They mocked him. It mirrors Psalm 22, 14, 15. David wrote, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. I'd like to point out that he didn't say my bones are broken. He said, all my bones are out of joint. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Exhaustion and dehydration and stretching and dislocating were all planned, crafted details of suffering in the method of torture and execution known as crucifixion that was a Roman method not known by the Jews in David's day. But as the Lord, whether he realized it or not, moved on David, he wrote those words, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My tongue cleaveth to my jaw. In Psalm 22, 16, he said, they pierced my hands and my feet. Will you look how they nailed Jesus to that cross? They pierced his hands. They pierced his feet. And they literally nailed him to a cross. Psalm 22 and 18, they part my garments among them, and they cast lots upon my vesture. David, right now, he's writing things that while he's feeling all the emotions he's feeling, while he's feeling all the stuff that's welling up inside of him, he didn't even realize at this point he's flowing in the Holy Ghost. He didn't even realize right now that he's prophesying. He didn't even realize right now what he's actually saying. He said, they part my garments among them. They cast lots upon my vesture. And you can see in John 19, 23 and 24 that Roman soldiers, they divided Jesus' garment. They cast lots for it. They gambled for his coat, for the pieces of his coat. They did it right there while he was hanging on the cross. All of this is pointing ahead in time. All that David is writing is pointing ahead. But it's not all suffering. It's not all torment. It's not all doom and gloom. But there's victory in this passage. You look at Psalm 22, and when you get to verse 22, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the affliction, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. He's saying, in the beginning, I was feeling forsaken. When I started crying out, I was feeling forsaken. I was feeling like God left me behind. But you know what? I'm going to declare that he hath not abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. When I cried unto him, he heard me. I know he heard me. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down into the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. David doesn't even realize that he didn't even realize what he was writing, but he's saying after he's gone through all this, after after feeling forsaken and after being torn apart, after being despised and rejected, after casting down the shame and going to the cross and being nailed to that cross and being put in that grave, that there's going to be a generation of people. There's going to be a multitude of people. There's going to be a congregation of people that are going to rise up, and they're going to know that he hath done this. Oh, we did it today. We worshiped him for the cross. We worshiped him for the sacrifice. We saw this prophecy come to pass in this very service today when we declared and said, if it had not been the Lord, if he had not sacrificed, if he had not died on that cross and went to that tomb and rose 3 days later. Oh, I wish we could see this right now. I wish we could give him praise right now. We've seen his very word come to pass in this service. All the earth is going to see and going to know that he hath done this. He hath done this. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Oh, we ought to give him praise. We ought to give him praise. I wish somebody would preach with me today. I wish you'd hear what I'm saying today. On the cross, Jesus was not declaring defeat. He was not hanging there and literally declaring that God had forsaken him. He wasn't hanging there saying, and they even misheard him. They misheard what he was saying. They said he's calling for Elias, the prophet. They didn't understand a lot of them. They didn't know what he was saying, why he was saying it. But he was pointing not to defeat, not to being forsaken, but fulfillment. Fulfilled, not forsaken. Fulfilled, not forsaken. He in just a few moments later, he was about to say, it is finished. He was getting to the end of the psalm that says, I have done this. I have done he was going from the first line that said, I'm forsaken, to the last line of the psalm that said, I have done this. It is finished. And he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. But 3 days later, he rose with the keys of death and hell in the grave and said, it is finished. I have done this. Woo! Hallelujah. You have to forgive me for getting a little bit excited. That's just too good. That's just too good. He was pointing. He was fulfilling the word. He was pointing to victory when he said those words. For those in that day, he was declaring victory. For us today, he was declaring victory. He had won the victory, and nobody could do it but him. And so I want to tell us today, this is the word I've got for you. Somebody in here today, you feel like you're in a low place. And that's That's not everybody in here today. We've all been there. We'll all be there. But not everybody in here today feels like I'm in this low place. Some of us feel like, man, I feel pretty good. God's good. I feel like I'm on the mountaintop instead of the valley. I feel good. Thank God. Thank God. I'm glad. I'm glad you feel that way. Somebody in here today feels like, God, why are you so far from me? God, why does your voice, why does the answer, why does the provision, why does it feel so far away from me? Why have you forsaken me? God, I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. I'm just doing my best to serve and to be what I'm supposed to be. I'm trying to do my best at home. I'm trying to do my best at church. I'm trying to do my best to provide and to do what I need for my family, for my spouse, for my brothers and sisters around me. I'm trying to juggle all this stuff. And on top of it, the whole world is just flushing down the drain, and it's awful. And Lord, I'm trying to keep my mental health right, and I'm trying to do it. I'm just trying my best, Lord. Why does it feel like you've left me in the middle of all this? Why does it feel like that all of a sudden you just took your hand off of me? Why does it feel like when everything got the worst is when you decided to go on lunch break? I can't find you anywhere. And even Job said that at one point. I can't see, I cannot perceive where God is at in any of this. We like to say he's on my right, he's on my left, my front and back, under me, over me. Job was saying, I can't find him on my left, I can't find him nowhere. I don't see, I can't perceive him. But Job understood something. He knows the way that I take. And I want to tell somebody today that feels like God has left you, no, he has not. He has not forsaken you. He has not taken his eyes off of you. He hasn't even glanced away from you. He hasn't for one second forgot what he called you to do. He hasn't for one second forgot where you're at and what you've been through and what you're going through right now. Not even for a minute has he left you alone. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. So you've got to understand today that you're not forsaken, but God's getting ready to fulfill something. You ought to invoke some scripture today. You ought to point to the word today and say, I know that this ain't how it ends. I might be at the beginning of Psalm 22, but I'm going to reach the end, and I'm going to be able to say, God has done this work in my life. If it had not been the Lord who was on my side. You ought to invoke some scripture and say, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You ought to invoke some scripture and say, no weapon that is formed against me will be able to prosper. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Oh, when I walk through the water, it won't overflow. When I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned. You ought to invoke some. You ought to point to the word. You ought to look at the devil. You ought to look at the enemy. You ought to look at your flesh trying to lie to you. And you ought to say, it is written. It is written. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it feels. I don't care how low I've been. It is written. I'm not forsaken. I'm not forsaken, but I'm about to see victory fulfilled. I'm about to see victory fulfilled in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, you ought to clap your hands to the Lord right now. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's saying, our God, Our high priest is not one that doesn't understand how we feel. He knows how you feel. Says we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, when that word tempted, it doesn't just mean like he faced the same sinful desires that we fight. It's saying he went through the same kinds of trials, the same kinds of tests. He felt all the same emotions that we feel. He felt all of the same hurt that we feel. People forsook him. People hurt him. He had hard situations that he went through. He was touched in every area. He was tempted. He was tried in all points, like as we are. The same. I'm telling you, you can't name something that Jesus doesn't understand. You can't go through something that Jesus does not understand. You can't be in a place that Jesus does not get. He understands it. He understands it. And so you've got to know today that even in that moment, in his flesh, being fully God, fully man, in his flesh, in that moment, he knew what it felt like to be in such a hard place that you feel God forsaken. But it's like I said, he went from verse 1, and a couple minutes later, he went to verse 31. And he said, "It is finished. I have done this." And so you got to know today. I'm coming in for a landing. Musicians, you can come. As a matter of fact, you can stand with me. I've got a little more I could bring out. I feel like the Lord's got us in a good place right now. You need to understand that God knows. He doesn't just know where you're at. He knows how you feel. But I want to tell somebody today, this is the word I want to tell you. I'll repeat it again, that you're not forsaken. But God is going to fulfill something in your life. Don't just look at the first verse. You got to look all the way to the end. You got to understand that as David started to name all the things that were going wrong, something shifted and it went from complaining to praise. There was multiple places in the book of Psalms that he did that. He'd start off and he'd just be letting the Lord have it. "Lord, this is terrible. I feel like I just want to die. I wish that I could just turn into a bird and fly away and be away from all this." That wasn't just Jenny and Forrest Gump. David said it first. He said, "Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away from here." He said it first. He said, "I just want to be away from it." But then a verse later, he would say, "You know, but God hath dealt bountifully with me." And so I'm just going to remember that, and I'm going to hang on to that, and I'm going to give him praise. And I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because he made a way when there was no way. He's brought me out when I didn't have a way out. He brought me through the valley of the shadow of death. He prepares before me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He rode in a place, he said, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. And so I want to tell somebody today, maybe you're fine, maybe you're good, but to somebody who's been saying, where in the world is Jesus? What is going on in my life? I want to tell you today so that you'll have strength to continue on to verse 31. I want to tell you, you're not forsaken. And that God has not left you, God has not forgot about you, and your situation is not too hard or too complicated for him to handle. But God has got you in the palm of his hand. And when you can't perceive him and you don't know where he's at on either side, front, back, above, beneath, he knows the way that you take. And when you've been tried, you will come forth as pure gold. And just like Job, the latter end is going to be greater than the former. You're going to say, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So you got to know what the enemy meant for evil. God turned it around for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, for my destruction, for me to throw in the towel, for me to wave the white flag and give up, God turned it into a testimony. Oh, it went from a test to a testimony. You need to hang on to verse 31, somebody. You need to hang on. You might have been saying, God, why you forsake me? But you need to hang on to verse 31, because it's not forsaken. It's fulfillment. God's fulfilling something. I want to invite you today, all that would you come to these altars right now? And would you let God touch your life and help you in your situation? Would you find a place in these altars and throw your hands up and say, Lord, I know I'm not forsaken. God, you've done it before. I believe you're going to do it again. God, you've kept me and healed me before. I know that you've still got me. Come on, God can do a work in your life today, church. He can heal your body today. He can deliver you today. He can touch your life today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.